I'm volunteer to help the children's program play music, and I think I saw Moodoo is helping the children's section. I'm sure a lot of us is helping. But what is the best way to help?
Bring someone.
No. It's bring someone, that's right. It's not praying. You know, it's praying is important, but actually bring someone there, inviting someone there is making the most impact to the to this evangelist meeting. I think Liz is going to try to go around the neighborhood to asking people, right? And if anybody wants to help her, you know, have a plan, you know, let's get together whenever we can to help out, because we don't really have too much time. We were in Andrews University last Sabbath, and we went down and visited Hannah. So we went down there and spent a Sabbath there. And the Sabbath morning, we went to a church at Andrews University called Pioneer Memorial Church. It's a big church. People been there, right? You guys been there? Yeah? No?
It's,
huh? Okay. It can sit about 3,000 people. And while we were there, it was quite empty because it was a Pathfinder service. People must be knowing ahead of time who is the one speaking and who is doing the service. So because of Pathfinder, so usually we cannot even find a seat. But that time was quite empty. I think lucky that Kwame didn't tell people who was preaching today, right? When I walk in there, Ron said, oh, Dan is preaching. So it was a worship did by the Pathfinder. And during the service, they did a skit. They did a play. And they play out the story of Jesus being tempted three times. We just read the Emmy. I was reading the... Emmy, you're just so good. I think you can be a pastor. Honestly, I think, you know, if that's a calling, don't refuse it, okay? And, he, you know, he was reading the Bible verse. He was doing a very good job. And it was talking about the three temptations Jesus went through. I was sitting there watching the kids doing that. They were doing quite simple, and at the stage, they were doing that. While I was sitting there, suddenly hit me that the three temptations wasn't for Jesus. It was for me personally. While I was sitting there watching the three temptations, I realized that those are the three temptations I personally facing every day. Now, have you thought about that? Now, think about that. Jesus has been tempted since he was a baby. Is that right? I don't believe that the Satan was going to wait and wait and wait until that time to do it. Jesus been tempted throughout his whole life, every moment. But he was doing that to show us a good example for what we supposed to do. Now, let me give you some background of this story. This story was described in Matthew chapter 4, right? Now, think about that. The very first three chapters of the Matthew is actually has this different meaning to it. The very first chapter of Matthew is talking about Jesus' ancestors, right? They list out all the ancestors of Jesus. He was born, you know, from Joseph and all the way to King David. All the way to King David. It's talking about Jesus' genealogy is coming from a king. So talk about Jesus actually, one of the princes. You know, it's all the way from King David. It's described in a human term, he was from the royal family, okay? Second chapter of Matthew. Second chapter of Matthew is talk about the angels declare Jesus as the Messiah, okay? It was talking about the angel went to see the shepherds and the wilderness and also talked to the three wise men, and the angel was declaring Jesus as the Messiah. That's the second chapter. What's the third chapter? The third chapter, Jesus was baptized, and then it was declared by the voice of God, saying that this is my son, my beloved. Oh,
Okay, sorry. My beloved son, this is who I love. And also the Holy Spirit came as a dove and on the top of Jesus' head. So the third chapter was showing that Jesus as the Son of God. Okay? And then when it comes to the fourth chapter, Jesus was led by the Spirit as a human. Okay? The fourth chapter talking about Jesus as a human and being led to the wilderness. And he was not eating. He was fasting for 40 days. Now, being a human, fasting for 40 days, you will get hungry, right? You will get very hungry. At the time, why Jesus was being hungry? Because he was taking the nature as a human. He was taking as a human. And then Satan came at the time, the weakest point of Jesus being a human, right? Now, Jesus was a God and Son of God and Messiah. Doesn't matter at that moment because he was a human and be hungry. So in here, he spent 40 days in the wilderness without food. Now, let me ask you a question. What was the life expectancy at Jesus' time? How old do you think people lived till? Huh? Actually, I've been researching on this one. It's between 35 and 45. Now, you say, how did they know? Some scholar went back to Egypt and looked for the census. At the time, that Egypt was one of the more advanced countries. So they have the census all the way back to the Jesus' time. They talk about the Roman, you know, government and things like that. At the time, they write down all the people, the day of born, and then also the day of death. And at that time, the average out about 40 years, people lived the age about 40 years. Now think about that. At the time, the healthcare, the cleanliness, and any infection, anything. And also at the time, they were in war a lot of time, right? When they go out in a war, most of the time, all the losing country will be killed, wiped out. So at the time of Jesus' time, the life expectancy between 35 and 45. Now, when Jesus came to the wilderness to be tempted, how old was he? He was 30. So he actually is the prime of his life. At the time of prime of his life, but however, at that moment, you don't really know how much longer you're going to live because most of the old people, is about 45. You know, at that time, you talk about they could die. They said throughout the book of the census of the Egyptian, they looked for 350 people. Only two lived till 65. Only two from 350 people. And most of the people die around 30, 35. Okay. So it's very interesting that throughout this 30 years, that's what I said, Jesus has been tempted by Satan for all these time. Because he was working very hard to get Jesus to sin. Why did the book of Matthew and Luke talk about this three particular temptation? I'm sure Jesus was tempted for many times. Why did they talk about just this three temptation? Because these are the three major temptations we are facing every day. This is what we are facing every single day. Think about that. The very first temptation, he said, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Now, is it really a sin that Jesus make bread from nothing? No, not really. He did that because remember that time that he used five loaves of bread and two fish and feed a few thousand people, about 10,000 people, okay? And then they still have left over. Jesus was making bread to feed people out of nothing, right? That wasn't a sin. Is it a sin to eat? Is it? No. But Jesus, you know, and also the Bible said Jesus was hungry too. And so you look at it, where was the temptation? But look at how Jesus answered. How Jesus answered would tell us where the temptation was. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word of God. Now, throughout the history of the mankind, we have been spending most of our time, awakened time, looking for food. Is that right? We wake up in the morning, we said, what are we supposed to do? We go to work, right? Don, has that happened to you? Yeah, every morning you get up and say, oh, I'm late, I gotta go. Okay? So, this is interesting. I searched this. Turned out the polar bear spent 50% of the lifetime looking for food. But only 2% of the time, they can actually find food. So actually, polar bear just walking around, around, and around, looking for food. But only 2% of the lifetime, a polar bear successfully find food. Okay? As a human, I think we are better, right? How much time you spend for food besides sleeping? Probably more than 50% of the time, is that right? Well, for some people, not work, you know, maybe don't work as much. But I think for average people, we probably spend more than 50%. Sophia, is that right for you? Yeah? Yeah? Yeah, every day we spend about 8-9 hours working and for food. But one thing that Jesus tells us that we focus so much on food, on work and drink, we overlook the necessity of a spiritual life. How many of us getting up and say the first thing that say, let me take care of my spiritual need first? Very easy, we would just get up and say, what am I going to have for breakfast? Or we get up and say, oh, I'm late. And sometimes we're so busy, by the end of the day, we said, oh, I'm so tired, I need to go to bed. Without thinking about, did we actually spend time with the Word of God? That's what Jesus is talking about. We got ourselves so busy that we did not take the proper time of spending time with God, spending time for our spiritual life. For me, personally, that's one of the temptations that I've been fighting every day. To reminding myself, I got to do something. I got to spend time. I got to set up some time to study God's word and communicate with God. Now, remember Jesus, he was very busy, busy, busy for the whole day. And rather than just go to sleep, he would go to quiet time and do his praying time with God. So it's really a temptation for us. It's not for Jesus, right? So it's really for me personally because I am not spending enough time to watch for my spiritual life. Now look at the Bible in the Psalms 119, Psalms 119, 105. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to guide me and a light for my path. And also they said, thy words is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Is that right? We all know that. But how many of us really, really follow that and spending enough time to light up the light so that we can see our path, so that we can see where we are walking? Also in Jeremiah 15, 16. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. This is very interesting. Jeremiah said, you spoke to me, and I listened to every word. I belong to you, nor God Almighty. And so your words fill my heart with joy and happiness. This is talk about that God has a word for us in the Bible. Are we listening? Are we taking the time to listen to it? Because Jeremiah said, it will make my heart with joy and happiness. In other words, if we don't spend the time listening to God and reading His Word, we are not going to have joy and happiness. No wonder we get angry all the time, huh? Sometimes we get angry so easy because... Now, another thing is that, do you know that beverage manufacturing is one of the fastest growing industries in the world right now? Just look at the commercial. How many commercials on TV is showing pop or alcohol or beer? You cannot count. Let me ask you, which channel on TV is the most popular channel? Huh? Right now. Food channel. So many food channel, so many stations talk about food and eating. Look around. And how many commercials talk about food? Look around. That's really a temptation for us. Eating is not a sin. But if we are overeating without thinking about our spiritual need, then it's a temptation for us. How many of us think food is a temptation for us? Yeah, we do. Yeah, it is. But Jesus tells us that focus on the Word of God because that's how we can overcome the temptation. Okay, the number two temptation. If you are Son of God, throw yourself down. For the Scripture says, God will give you orders to His angels about you. They will hold you up with the hand so that not even your feet will hurt you on the stone. Now, this is very interesting that Satan brings Jesus up to the top of the temple. Say, just jump down, and God is going to save you. And we said, what kind of temptation is that? Then I start looking at myself. So often that we tend to think it's okay to do anything because God is going to take care of me. Is that right? We tend to think that it's okay. We'll do it because God is going to forgive me. Is that right? Huh? Yeah, you know, Ron, remember my story. What about we can continue doing what we are not supposed to do? Because God will always forgive us. Deep down, we keep thinking about God is going to forgive me. God will understand. I can just do it. Or, oh, so little, it's okay. God. Sometimes we don't really need to keep God's Ten Commandments because God will understand. Have you heard of it? People always say that. It doesn't matter as long as I pick a day, as long as I do doing the right thing, doing a good thing, it's okay. We always think that we can continue running away from God because God will always come and find us. Sometimes I talk to some young people, they say, it doesn't matter. I always can come back to God later. Have you heard of that? Is that God will take me back? God really doesn't need my money. He will understand why I don't trust Him. It's very easy for us to make that excuses for ourselves, right? We can do it because God is going to save us, because God is going to take care of us, because God will forgive us, and I will do all these things. So we just let our standard lower and lower and lower and lower. We are not safeguarding ourselves. But Jesus said, but the Scripture also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus said, don't test God. What is he talking about? He's talking about two things. God will never go against our will to force us to love him. Would he? God would never do that. He will not force us to love him. God will never want to bring us to heaven just to see us unhappy forever. Would he? No, he would not. People don't realize that. God would not force us to go to heaven to see us unhappy forever. That's one thing. Second thing, it's not up to us to test God. Now think about that. If we are testing God, what does that mean? Meaning that we don't trust him, right? Very simple. I usually don't check on Ron's work. You know, when he goes there, he do whatever he does. And I said, fine, you know. I never have to go back and check on his work because I trust him. I never really check on the credit card statement because I just trust him. Okay, that's pretty simple. Because when you trust someone, you don't need to test it. For example, I'm standing on this here. I never have to really try it to see if it's safe to walk out here, right? Do I? I just know that this is going to be safe for me to stand here. Now, do you trust this roof is going to be safe? Have you tried to walk in here, use a stick to stick on it to see, is it going to come down? I don't see you guys doing that, right? What about, do you trust your car? Do you trust the brake? Most of the time. But you trust the brake, right? You don't have to constantly try it to see, tap on it to see if it's working. When it comes to stop sign, you just step on it. But why are we testing God? If we are testing God, meaning that we don't trust him, meaning that we don't trust what he's promised. Now, pretty simple. For example, the Bible, throughout the Bible, they keep telling people, trust God, believe in him. Now, if we really believe in God, do we need to do that? If we truly trust somebody and then they tell us to do something, we'll do it anyway, right? Because we know this person is 100% perfect, is always right, we'll do it. Okay? We will do it. But if we testing God, what does that mean? We don't trust him. That's why we need to test him, right? So, in here, do you know that we constantly throughout our life, we are testing God, meaning that we are not trusting God? This is the second biggest temptation for me personally. Very simple. Every time when I write a check or put my offering for God, am I supposed to have a second thought or just do it? Can we just do it like Jesus, trusting God? Because Jesus said, do not test your God. Just trust him. That's the second most temptation I'm facing every day. Because sometimes I worry. Because I think, well, is God going to help me for this one? In other words, not trusting God is a sin. Not completely trusting him is a sin. Now, the third temptation, Satan said to Jesus, all this I give it to you if you kneel down and worship me. Now, this is very interesting. Now, Satan bring Jesus to the top of the mountain. You are talking about 2,000 years ago. How much you see looking down the mountain back 2,000 years ago compared to Las Vegas, huh? Yeah, a lot, but compared to today, probably not much, right? Do you see high-rise building? I'm sure Jesus was not being shown with the Rockefeller Center, right? Or a Maserati, right? Wasn't showing him with all these iPad and iPhone and all these things that we want so bad. Probably not a big yacht, right? But at that time, Satan was showing Jesus, I will give it to you if you kneel down and worship me. When I see that skit, I said, I don't think that really mattered to Jesus that much. Do you think really mattered to Jesus that much at the time that when Satan said, look, you can have this and that? I don't think so. But for me, yes. The temptation is really for me. Throughout my life, I have learned to get the world. Now, I was told to be good in elementary school so that I can do good in high school. I was told to study hard so that I can get to college. I was told to finish college so I can get a job. I was taught to work and get a good job so that what? So that I can make lots of money. Is that the ultimate goal? Start from when I was born. My teachers, my parents, my friends already, telling me you got to do good, and then you just step and step and step. So ultimately, they said you can find a good job and make lots of money. Okay, when I make lots of money, what do? So that I can buy toys, right? So that I can have stuffs. I can have things. I can have a nice car. I can have a big house. I can have this and this and this. Throughout our life, we were taught how to get the world. We keep thinking about that if I have more money, I will do. They constantly ask people, if you win the lottery, what are you going to do? Huh? Ethan, what are you going to do? Oh, he's already thinking. So we constantly have that temptation. Is already built in our mind. Ultimately, we learn to get the whole world in all cost. We want to work hard. We want to do this and this and this because we want to get the stuff. I was told that if I would open my business on Saturday, I would make a whole lot of money. And I was told that if I would drink and socialize with people, I can do a lot more business. A lot more people want to come and do business with me. It is so sad that before Satan even asked, I already kneel down in front of him, said, please give me the world. Isn't that true? Before he even asked me, I already did it. I said, let me worship you. Just give me the world. What did Jesus say? Go away, Satan. The scripture says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus pointed out to us that ultimately, what is more important to us? Look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 33. Matthew chapter 6, verses 33, saying, everybody knows that. Do you know that? Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, it sounds like to me that Jesus was speaking to me. He said, I know you want this and you want that, you want all these, but seek first of the kingdom of God. Get the kingdom of God. Seek to get to heaven. And the rest of it, what you need, will be given unto you. A lot of time, this is my temptation. I keep forgetting it. My ultimate goal for my life is still seek the kingdom of God and to serve Him and serve God. Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve Him. That's the purpose of my life, is to worship Him and to serve Him. Now, I keep forgetting that my life, the purpose of my life is to serve Him. I keep thinking about the purpose of my life is to serve myself. I keep thinking about, hey, I want to have this and this and this. I want to have lots of fun. Without thinking about that, the purpose of my life is to serve Him. Now, this is very interesting that this in psychology said the more we spend the time looking at a thing, the more we want that thing. Have you ever done that? We want to have something. Let's say that we want to buy a car. Then what do we look at every time we get on the internet? We look at cars. We look at brochures. And then every time commercial shows that, what do we actually focus on? Cars. The thing is here, if we keep focus on the same thing, let's say if we want to buy a phone, all we see is a phone. Then a son, I know that Kwame has a phone. And what type of phone that he has? Because I want a phone, I see that who has that phone and so, and all I focus is a phone. Throughout my life, if we focus on the things on earth, all we see, all we want would be the things on earth. Now, that's why, remember that song said, turn our eyes upon? What? Turn our eyes upon Jesus. If we focus upon Jesus and what He has done, then that is going to be the thing we're going to get. If we focus on Jesus and His kingdom, that's what we want. That's what Jesus talked about, the third temptation. We need to realize that the purpose of our life and what we need to focus upon. I'm sure that today, Satan will bring you on the top of the highest building in Las Vegas. Just look down, see? It's beautiful here. Don't look at it. The more we look at it, the more we want it. Throughout His life, Jesus had been tempted all the times. The way that He was tempted was far beyond our comprehension. Let me say something to see if we can see that. No one in human history has ever been tempted like Jesus. You know why? Only the sinless person have experienced the most ultimate temptation. Okay? Only the person never sinned ever experienced the most difficult temptation. Why? Let's say that we used to play something. My dad has a machine that generating electricity and have a dial. We can turn from very little voltage all the way get higher and higher. Okay? We play that game with my brothers and sister. We hold on to the wire for both of them to see how high that we can turn the knob to before we throw that away. Okay? Have you ever played that game? Yeah, you have, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? But this one has a dial. You can start from low and continue to get higher and higher, higher voltage. until you just throw away, you know, you just get shot. So we take turn and playing with that game. And my little brother, he's very weak. He just, a little bit, you just throw away, you know. For me, I'm the one that would, oh, I can win. I want to win so bad. So I just let it go and go, and I throw, just throw away. I never can get it all the way to the end because I throw away at the middle, because I never can take higher than the middle. I still, up to this point, I never experience the worst because I never get to that point, I already throw it away. The same for our temptation too. If we only experience a very low level of temptation, we already fail. Do we need to go above that? No. Because just like math class, how many of you enjoy taking math class? If you fail the first two classes, do you ever have to go into the PhD level? No. Only the people has the highest degree experience the knowledge of the highest degree. Is that right? For us, we have to keep practice and practice so that we can go beyond simple temptation. If Satan just do a little bit, you know, just the tiny little baby one, we would say, oh, we fail. Then we never have to move up. We never train ourselves to be able to sustain his temptation. However, Jesus was the only one throughout the human history ever overcome all the temptation from Satan. All the way till the end, all the way till the worst, ultimate temptation, and Jesus still overcame. What does that mean? Don't ever claim that Jesus don't understand you. Jesus has gone through every single temptation we have ever experienced and way beyond. That's why he's the only one understand what we are going through. Understand every single temptation we have ever experienced. And he is the only one can representing us. Because he said, I have gone through that. I overcame it. I have done it. Been there, done it. I overcame every single one. He is the only one can speak for us. And he is the only one who would understand us. Don't ever say that he did not understand us. Now, the Bible said, Jesus said, happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. And what about, he talked about that persecution until death. He said also, he said, for if you want to save your own life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. When I was young, I always so scared about that when my parents talk about that at the end of the time, we'll have some persecution that even you have to lose your life. My father would use that example. He said, example, somebody will come to you and say, are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? If you say yes, they are going to kill you. What are you going to say? I always get so scared. I said, I don't know if I can take it. I don't know if I can take that persecution. I don't know if I can take that temptation. I'm so happy that I never have to face it. But is it happening? It's happening. Over in Egypt, some Christian, 20-some of them, got kidnapped, right? You guys all heard about that. They were killed in front of the TV because they were Christian. I'm saying that right now, are we able to overcome that kind of temptation or test upon us? If we are not getting ourselves, training ourselves, getting ourselves to have the trust in God, it's happening. how are we going to prepare? Do we take it as a personally and prepare ourselves? That's very important for us because it's happening. One last thing I want to point out to you is, if we look at the Bible verse, after the three temptations, what happened? Angels came and comforted Jesus, right? Angel came. Meaning that the angels were watching. I'm sure they tried so hard not to interfere, right? But the angels were watching. Same for us. We have angels. Not one. The Bible said more than one. Angels came and comforted Jesus. These angels are watching us. They will come and comfort us, will take care of us. Don't worry about that. Because sometimes we worry that I'm the only one. I'm just, you know, nobody understands me. Nobody's going through what I'm going through. Angels are watching. They will and take care of us. Soon and very soon, when this is all over, we can all come together and enjoy being with the angels and with Jesus. We can talk about that. We can look back to what we have gone through because Jesus has done it. We have to get ourselves strong to get through this. It's close to the end of the world that let us all prepare ourselves because trust God. He is our strength and He is going to help us to get through it. Don't let these little temptations get us down, bring us down. Because let's prepare ourselves every day. Look at these, learn from these three temptations like I did. To determine to get through the end of the world so that we can see God and His angels will come and comfort us and we can have time with Him together.